The Black Brigade presents...
Ralph Rises! Boom!
So what we'll be calling on...
Bam!
...is good old-fashioned...
Bop!
...blunt force trauma.
Bada-bop, boom.
Horsepower.
Pow.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Heavy-duty, cast-iron, pile-driving punches that will have to hurt so much they'll rattle his ancestors.
Awesome!
Yeah, let's start building some hurting bombs.
Thus spake DT.
And other philosophers.
In the will to power power.
Powerful ideas,
proven results.
Class is in session, soldiers. Sit down, take your seats. Put your mask. No, no, no. The School of DT at DTU. No, you don't. DT University, DTU, you do not. There is no mask mandate, soldiers. Welcome to the Will to Power Hour, episode number 102. Right? That's what it is, isn't it? 102? Is it? Yes. 102. Nietzsche's Critique of the Highest Values, Part 4, for this Thursday, May 13th, 2021.
Look at my muscles. Look at my biceps. Look at my triceps. Look at my deltoids. Look at my muscles. Look at my biceps. Look at my triceps. Look at my deltoids. Look at my muscles. Look at my triceps. Look at my biceps. Look at my deltoids. Look at my muscles.
You want me to put the hammer down?
Yes, philosophizing with a hammer every Thursday here at the Black Brigade. If you like my goddamn hammering and you do not want me to hold my goddamn hammering, hit the like, soldiers. Hit the subscribe. Share with one new recruit a week and help grow the brigade. Head on over to blackbrigade.org. That is our flagship where we set sail into the abyss of philosophy 4 days a week, but reserve the right to point and laugh at the Freak Show every Freak's Freedom and Schadenfreude Friday, which is tomorrow, soldiers, already. Time flies when you're having fun with Fritz Nietzsche. Subscribe to the RSS feed there as well, and kindly click on the Cafe Press site to buy some cool shit.
Here's my products. Go buy my shit. Give me your fucking money.
I need money!
Yes, give the Black Brigade a buck. I do all this stuff at the beginning of the podcast to make it seem like this is an actual real show, soldiers. I know there's not much Cafe Press site buying going on. I know there's not much sharing with one new recruit a week going on. But it makes it seem consistent. It makes it seem like this is a legitimate show. Right? It's all pretend land, right? DT's a pretend DJ. He's a pretend talk show host. Listen to his show. It sounds like a show. And it gives you all a chance to fall in, you lazy bastards, right? We need some time to fall in. So Kirk Grimes, thanks for falling in, soldiers. All Pro Lemington, Bolo, Gunpost Music, Competent Man, I like you pointing out on the 100th podcast about the COVID shots ads not having any disclaimers like all other things. I think that was a good... Yes, I agree with you. I think that is a good point. It is an effective point. I haven't really heard anybody come up with it. It's so obvious that I think people have just forgotten about it. It's so obvious, maybe people think it doesn't need to be stated, but we make fun of those drug commercials where it's like all the disclaimers, just all the horrible things that could happen to you, and you're watching this commercial and you're going, why the fuck would anybody in their right mind want to take this drug? And they have to put all those disclaimers because those things can happen, even if the chance is really, really, really low. And they throw in the, if you have suicidal thoughts, stop taking immediately and talk to your doctor, because no one knows what causes suicidal thoughts. So that's just a CYA. These drug companies, CYA, the CYA statement is, if your suicidal thoughts increase after taking this drug, stop immediately. Go talk to a doctor. That's their CYA statement. There's no scientific evidence of any of that, I don't think, for most drugs. And yet it's a disclaimer on all drugs, except COVID. If COVID lockdowns cause suicidal thoughts, talk to your politician immediately. Who else is falling in here? All Pro Leamington says you could syndicate this on AM. Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know how any of that works. Retake AM, right? I think Rush Limbaugh basically restored the AM band. It was on its way out. No one wanted to listen to something that was not stereo, was not good sound. And then Rush Limbaugh came in and rescued it and made it profitable again. And Greenie's Gains falling in. Greetings, lads, from Greenie.
It's not easy being green.
Right?
All the colors of the leaves. You could be yellow or red or blue or something else like that.
Isn't that somehow that's how the song goes, I think?
It's not easy being green.
All right, let's get to it, huh? Nietzsche, Fritz Nietzsche. Critique of the Highest Values, Part 4, on this Will to Power Hour. I think we ended in a fairly effective spot yesterday at Aphorism 306, basically saying that for morality to be victorious, it is achieved by the same immoral means as every victory: force, lies, slander, injustice.
You're a piece of shit. You're a horrible person. You're immoral.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Not really. I'm just kind of have some honest questions about.
No, I'm gonna slander your ass. Dumb herd animals love drama, so I'm just gonna attack the messenger. Slander your ass, and morality will reign supreme.
So you're using slander and gossip to achieve your morality, your victory of morality, right?
Yeah, I am.
Huh. So what's the next one I've got highlighted? 311. By which means does a virtue come to power? By exactly the same means as a political party. The slandering, inculpation, undermining of virtues that oppose it and are already in power, by rebaptizing them by systematic persecution and mockery, therefore, through sheer immorality. So he's really beating this drum, right? He's really philosophizing with a hammer here. Just pow, 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 hammering it home that morality is actually immorality. Morality can't be victorious. Virtue can't exist without immorality. Next one is a long one, but I only have the last of it highlighted, 315. Not much chit-chat today, soldiers. We're gonna listen to Fritz. Let's see what Fritz has to say about this crazy fucking world we live in. So I've only got the end of it, and we'll see. If the end of it is a little confusing, we will read the rest of it. Here, therefore, a communal morality is enforced because it procures an advantage. And to make it victorious, war and force are practiced against immorality. With what, quote, right? With no right whatever, but in accordance with the instinct for self-preservation. These same classes make use of immorality when it serves their purpose. So I think we're getting it. I think we're getting what Nietzsche is laying down here. I'm just scanning. Scanning here. Maybe, you know what? Maybe we will just read this one. Since it is a long one. Let's just read it. Blowing it live here. How did he come to that conclusion? Morality and the valuation of races and classes. Oop, oop, oop. Fritz is going to talk about race.
Super duper racist alert. Not a drill. Racist alert.
Yes, Fritz is going to talk about race. We've got Sam Jawbone falling in. I don't know if I've seen your name before. Thanks for falling in. He says, nice Jordan Peterson impression. Didi Isafaig. Not Easy Being Green. What a racist song. Yeah, Not Easy Being Green is a racist song, right?
That's racist!
Yeah, it is. Kermit's got a victim mentality, right? And the bit's fallen in. So, morality in the valuation of races and classes. In view of the fact that the affects and fundamental... Affects is feelings, I think. And fundamental drives in every race and class express something of the condition of their existence. At least of the conditions under which they have prevailed for the longest time. To desire that they should be virtuous... means that they change their character, shed their skin, and blot out their past. So virtue is sort of a, oh, we need to be more virtuous, means that you're kind of condemning who you are, right? Means that they should cease to be distinct. Okay, so if virtue is one standard, then that's equality, right? If there is a such thing as virtue, as true virtue, then that encompasses all races and classes, right? And if you become virtuous, then you become the same thing as everybody else. They should cease to be distinct. Means that they should begin to resemble one another in their needs and demands. More clearly, that they should perish. The will to a single morality is thereby proved to be a tyranny over other types by that type whom this single morality fits. It is a destruction or a leveling for the sake of the ruling type. Okay. It's what the Founding Fathers said about America. You know, America only works, a constitutional republic only works with a virtuous and religious people, right? So for us to keep ruling under this system, because there was a ruling type, there's always been a ruling type in America. We need to have the people be this certain way. And the ruling type at the founding of America was basically a live and let live ruling type. They didn't want to boss people around, right? Well, the only way you can not pop boss people around and become tyrants yourselves is if you've got a good, just, religious people that you're, quote, ruling, that the Constitution is ruling. Whether to render the others no longer fearsome or to render them useful. Quote, abolition of slavery, supposedly a tribute to human dignity, in fact a destruction of a fundamentally different type, the undermining of its values and happiness. So yeah, Nietzsche is not an abolitionist. Nietzsche is not against slavery. He's not. And so he's saying, actually, the abolition of slavery was not freeing the slaves. It wasn't actually a tribute to human dignity. It was the destruction of the aristocratic class, of the slave owner class. That's what it really was all about. It wasn't about freeing these slaves. It's not about abolishing slaves or abolishing slavery. Oh, we need equality. No, that's not what it's actually about. They're imposing their morality to destroy the ruling class of the slave owners. Fritz is always like, hey, don't think too highly of yourselves here. You're just as fucking evil as everybody else, according to your own standards. That's what he's always trying to bring it back to that idea. During America's Civil War, what did Lincoln say? Lincoln said, if I could keep the Union together without abolishing slavery, I would. He didn't give a fuck about abolishing slavery. He just knew that that was the key to destroying the fundamentally different type of leader and ruling class in the South to reunite the country under him. Right? Lincoln was a tyrant. The qualities in which an opposing race or class is strong are interpreted as its most evil, worst qualities. For it is with those that it can harm us. Its, quote, virtues are defamed and rebaptized. Okay. It's the reason for this sounder, right? All we hear about today is this.
You're a fucking white male! You're a white man! Steve Pyle! Fucking Nazi!
White supremacy culture, right? All of these things, perfectionism, sense of urgency, defensiveness, quantity over quality, worship of the written word, paternalism, either-or thinking, power hoarding, fear of open conflict, individualism, progress is bigger, more objectivity and right to comfort. I almost got through it before the image left the screen. So those, the race or class of white males, the opposing, you know, the the systematic racism, right? Those are the qualities that are strong and are interpreted as its most evil, worst qualities. That's white supremacy. But that's what makes the people opposed to Black Lives Matter and the woke culture that we live in strongest. That's what makes us kick ass. That's what's made us always kick ass. And they want to tear that down and portray it as evil. Its virtues are defamed and rebaptized. They've done this. That was from the Minnesota Historical Society. Some paper by some idiot, you know, some idiot reinterpreting everything about society that is bad as white supremacist culture. So that's what Nietzsche's saying. That's what you do. It counts as an objection against a man or people if they harm us. But from their point of view, we are desirable because we are such as one can make use of. Okay? So whatever gives people power over someone else, the other side of that equation makes that strength evil. But from their point of view, it's desirable. We are desirable under that banner, under that system. They can make use of us. I think that's what he's saying there. It counts as an objection. So it, what is it? It counts as an objection against a man or people if they harm us. But from their point of view, we are desirable because we are such as one can make use of. It's a very confusing sentence. I think if someone's harming us from their point of view, they're not harming us. They're making use of us. Okay. We're useful. The demand for humanization, which quite naively believes itself to possess the formula for what is human. Humanity. Well, what do you think humanity is? Well, it's all these things. Well, why isn't all these other things? Well, because I want to control the definition of what is human and what is not. Because if I can count something as not human, then I can dehumanize it. So the demand for humanization is a Tartuffery behind which is, I think that just means bullshit. Let's look that word up. Nietzsche using words, Tartuffery definition. Religious hypocrisy. Okay. Tartuffery is religious hypocrisy. Hypocritical piety. So he's saying anytime somebody says humanity and more human than human. Well, actually, Nietzsche said more human than human. All too human. Rob Zombie. Nietzsche said all too human. Rob Zombie said more human than human. But anytime somebody's talking about what it means to be human and humanity and, you know, Captain Kirk saying he was the most human during his eulogy to Spock and his lip quivers. He was the most human. It's a Tartuffery. It's a religious hypocrisy. Behind which a quite definite type of man seeks to attain domination. More exactly, a quite definite instinct, the herd instinct, human equality, which is concealed behind the tendency to make men more and more alike. Oh, Nietzsche, man. Oh, Fritz. Jesus. I'm awesome. All right. Yeah. Oh, how, I mean, over 100 years ago, soldiers. And he's saying that this whole idea of equality is basically its goal is to make men more and more alike, which isn't diversity, right? It's a lack of diversity. And that's what we always, that's one of our criticisms. You're not actually into diversity. You want everybody the same. You want everybody to have the same stuff. And nobody can be better than anybody else, and there can be no different thought. You're definitely not for diversity of thought. So he's spot on in his predictions, in his criticisms, in his warnings here, right? Interestedness with reference to communal morality. Artifice to transform the great passions of lust for power and possessions into protectors of virtue. Okay. So we understand that people have a desire and lust for power and possessions. And if you can, through morality, just shift that into protecting virtue, that you have a great passion and lust for protecting virtue. I think that's what he's saying there. To what extent all kinds of businessmen and the avaricious, greedy, all who have to give and claim credit, find it necessary to become more and more alike in character and in conception of value. Oh my God. I'm awesome. All right. Yeah. Oh, holy shit, Fritz. Businessmen and the greedy. Making more money, more money, more money. I give you credit, will you give me credit? I pat your back, you pat mine. Oh, I stroke you off, you stroke me off. Give and claim credit. Find it necessary to become more and more alike in character and conception of value. Woke capital. Woke businesses. Corporate America. They find it necessary to become more and more alike in character. The dude bros. Holy shit. And in conception of value, what they value. Yeah, we value diversity and inclusion and critical race theory. Be less white. Holy shit, Nietzsche. Would trade and exchange of every kind, world trade and exchange of every kind extorts and, as it were, buys virtue. He's saying it's all a sham. These fucking businessmen and the greedy fucks on Wall Street and CEOs and everything, they virtue signal to make money. World trade and exchange of every kind extorts. So you're extorting from people. It's extortion. Well, we're not going to do business with you if you're not a good and moral company.
don't, we're going to cancel you out. We're not going to hire you if you don't believe in diversity and inclusion. You are not going to advance if you don't believe in diversity and inclusion. And as it were, buys virtue. He's saying, what good is this virtue if you're buying it, if you're extorting it from people? Oh, you need to be an ally. Hey, you're a fucking white male. Okay? You're a white man. And, you know, you are enemy number one. You are persona non grata or whatever. And for you to advance in this organization, you need to be an ally. Yes, you need to be an ally of one of the various groups of freaks. You need to be an ally. If you're not, you're not going to advance. Okay, I'll be an ally. Well, oh, so are they really an ally? The same applies to the state and to every kind of rule. Yeah, exactly. Government work. You can't get ahead if you don't believe in diversity and inclusion. Hey, I'm going to run the engineering department of this government administration, this group. I'm going to run the engineering department, and my engineering credentials don't matter. The fact that I support efforts at diversity and inclusion and equity, that's what matters most. The same applies to the state and every kind of rule by means of officials and soldiers. Likewise, science, in order to work in security and with economy of its forces. Likewise, the priesthood. They're all bullshitters. They're all schemers. It's all Tartuffery. Here's the conclusion. Here, therefore, a communal morality is enforced because it procures an advantage. And to make it victorious, war and force are practiced against immorality. With what right? With no right whatever, but in accordance with the instinct of self-preservation. These same classes make use of immorality when it serves their purpose. Spot on, Fritz. Same shit, different century. 316. The hypocritical show with which all civil institutions are whitewashed, as if they were products of morality. For example, marriage, work, one's profession, the fatherland, the family, order, law. But since they are one and all founded on the most mediocre type of man, as protection against exceptions and exceptional needs, it is only to be expected that they are full of lies. This seems, sorry for the long pause there. The coffee's good. Needed some coffee. He's just saying, don't try to portray yourself as some fucking bunch of moral people. You're just presenting it in the best light for the herd because it benefits the herd. Or it makes the herd able to be managed and ruled so that you can make all the money at the top. Right? All of these things as if they were products of morality. Marriage, work, one's profession, the fatherland, the family, order, law. But they're founded on the most mediocre type of man as protection against exceptions. It's not fair. It's not fair that you make more money than me. It's not fair. Well, I'm a lot better than you. Well, it's not fair. I'm going to take your money. What are some, there's got to be some laws out there that basically only protect stupid people, right? Only protect marks. And it's like, well, they're fucking marks. They're idiots. Why shouldn't I take advantage of them? They're making a choice. I'm not making them do something. Right? Scams, pyramid schemes, things like that. They're illegal, right? Pyramid schemes are illegal, but the only people who fall for them are mediocre at best people, right? So protections against exceptions, against people who are more powerful, against And forget about it nowadays. I mean, affirmative action, hiring quotas, preference for admissions at colleges, and all this fucking woke equity, diversity bullshit is protection against exceptions and exceptional needs. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's if we aren't a nation found where our laws are founded on the most mediocre type of person, I don't know what we are at this point. I mean, so let's move on. 317. I've got most of it highlighted, so I'll just read the whole thing here. Any other people? Any other soldiers falling in? Young Sykes is falling in. That is true. These people don't want just equity. They want complete uniformity as well. Right. They want everybody to be fucking androgynous at this point, right? They want everybody to be Pat from Saturday Night Live. 317. One should defend virtue against the preachers of virtue. They are its worst enemies. For they teach virtue as an ideal for everyone. They take from virtue the charm of rareness, inimitableness, exceptionalness, and unaverageness. It's aristocratic magic. What have we learned here reading all these philosophers? Basically, they say there are no honorable people. There are no virtuous people. They don't exist. They're very, very, very rare. I mean, Confucius was even saying in some of those later ones that we read here at the Will to Power Hour, he said something like, well, fuck you, or whatever his name was, F-U-K-Y-U, right? Well, fuck you over there. He's just a layabout. There's nothing I can do about that. I mean, he is what he is, right? So preachers of virtue are teaching it as an ideal for everyone. And that takes away what makes it attractive, I guess, that you're going to be different. You're going to be better. You're going to be Ubermensch. You're going to be Overman. One should also take a stand against the obdurate idealists who eagerly knock on all vessels and are satisfied when they ring hollow. What naivete to demand the great and rare, and then to establish with rage and misanthropy that they are absent. Okay. Is he talking about me there? See how he criticizes everybody? I think what he's saying here is that take a stand against puritanical thinking, against the purists, against the Confucius, against the King Solomon, who says there's no good people at all. But you say the same thing, Nietzsche. I mean, you say there's no such thing as the Ubermensch. But he's saying take a stand against that, that we don't need to be perfect either. Well, everything's hollow. See, this person's full of shit. See, that person's full of shit. See, they're hypocrites. See, they're ringing hollow. What naivete to demand the great and rare. To demand the great and rare. We need to be better than. And then to establish with rage and misanthropy. Is there anything that better defines DT? Misanthropic rage. That they are absent! Exclamation point. Nietzsche always says, do not despise the herd. The herd exists for you to be great. You would not be great without comparison to the herd, essentially, is what he says. So he is not raging with misanthropy at the herd. It is obvious, for example, that a marriage is worth as much as those whom it joins together.
We gotta stand for marriage. Marriage is good.
Well, what about that marriage over there? Those two fucking bucktooth idiots.
Well, it's still good.
I.e., that in general, it will be something wretched and inept. No priest, no mayor can make anything else of it. So the priest joins people in marriage, and I think what he's saying here is that when the government does it, a mayor can join people in marriage too. Virtue has all the instincts of the average man against it. It is unprofitable, imprudent, it isolates. It is related to passion and not very accessible to reason. It spoils the character, the head, the mind, according to the standards of mediocre men. It rouses, I mean, what's my frustration here at the Black Brigade? That this message doesn't take off, right? That the podcast doesn't take off. I've been doing it for a long time, and I've just accepted that it's a niche of a niche for truly top-tier men. Rich Cooper, oh, we got top-tier men here. No, you don't. No, you don't. You've got the herd. And according to the herd's standards, according to the standards of mediocre men, you are popular. If you are popular with the herd, you're doing something wrong, right? According to the standards of mediocre men, it rouses to enmity toward order, toward the lies that are concealed in every order, institution, actuality. It is the worst of vices if one judges it by its harmful effect upon others. So he's condemning virtue here, right? That's not fair. You shouldn't do that. The death penalty's not right. The death penalty, I'm going to stand on my little puritanical thing here, and death penalty's wrong. And Nietzsche's saying, well, if that's virtue, it rouses enmity towards order, toward the lies that are concealed in every order, institution, actuality. I'm virtuous. I tell the truth. That's a lie. Even though it's got a good result, I hate it, right? It needs to be perfect. It is the worst of vices. That virtue is actually a vice. What a great play on words there, huh? It is the worst of vices. To be perfectly virtuous is the worst of vices, because you don't accomplish anything, right? Life is both. Will to power is both. It's both good and bad. Beyond good and evil, as Nietzsche would say. If one judges it by its harmful effect upon others. I keep on being this virtuous person, and things just don't work out. I keep getting taken advantage of. I'm not making any money. I'm fucking poor as shit. People hate me. Whatever, right? If one judge, it's the worst of vices if one judges it by its harmful effect upon others. I recognize virtue in that one. So Nietzsche talking here. It does not desire to be recognized. Okay, there you go. Right? Isn't the Tao Te Ching full of stuff like that? And Confucius as well? It does not, true virtue does not desire to be recognized. It does, too, it does not presuppose virtue everywhere, but precisely something else. So it's not for everybody. Three, it does not suffer from the absence of virtue. Okay, this is very stoic here. See, that's how we can link all this shit together. Since we've been reading stuff, we can see how it, since we've been bouncing around and not just focused on one fucking thing, like how to get to girls or how to maintain frame, hypergamy. I did a quality check of yesterday's podcast, right, because I was having computer problems, right, soldiers? And I wanted to see if my voice was skipping. So I listened to the end of the podcast while I was, you know, doing other stuff on the computer, trying to fix things. And then it automatically played another video, and it was that Red Man group. And that guy, that Tony, whatever, the Dream Johnson. I think his arrogance is probably mostly an act, but it's fucking annoying. Right? It's fucking annoying. His arrogant attitude. Oh, I'm smart, so I'm funny, so I'm the meme king. And I just, ugh. The guy is probably psychotic, too. I mean, I'm not going to diagnose the guy, but he seems to have that kind of, I don't know. They all rub me the wrong way. But his guest seemed okay. DDJ, some MGTOW guy. He was saying the right things. But he said, this DDJ guy said, well, there's this video out there. Rich Cooper had Dr. Sean Smith debate Rollo about hypergamy on Rich Cooper's show. And after that, Rollo, you know, said fuck you to Dr. Sean Smith, and Dr. Sean Smith was never on Rich Cooper's podcast again, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, well, he's mentioning this thing, so I'll go listen to it. Oh, my God. So I went and listened to this talk on hypergamy that was like an hour and a half long. And I had to fast forward through it because basically, in summary, it could have been summarized in about 5 minutes. You know, you could talk about what hypergamy is. And Rollo just talks and talks and talks and talks. Rollo just talks. I don't know if he's not confident in his ideas, where he feels like he just has to talk and talk and talk and talk and this and that and this and that. And we can think about this and other people do it. He just keeps fucking going. Dr. Sean Smith is just sitting there waiting. And Dr. Sean Smith's basic response was, well, you got to be really careful about confirmation bias. Essentially, that's what he was saying. Is that you don't know that that's what it is. But if you approach every situation with that as the foundation, you're going to see it in everything. And as a doctor in psychology, it has to be based on data. We don't know the reasons why these things happen. It might be that. It might be something else. We got to be careful with just seeing everything through the hypergamy tinted glasses. That was the whole fucking video. I didn't see them yelling at each other. It didn't seem like they were getting angry at each other or anything like that. So yet again, trying to find drama where maybe there isn't drama, looking into things where maybe it's not there, fucking talking for a fucking hour and 40 minutes about something that could have been summarized as fast as I did it right there. Oh, I didn't define hypergamy. Oh, well, women want the best mate that they can get, usually better than them. Oh, okay. That's it. Alpha seed, beta need. Okay, all right. Fine, whatever. Just talk. Hey, talk some more, Rollo. I'm sure that'll help. Just keep fucking bloviating and keep going and going and going and going like a goddamn Energizer bunny. And Dr. Sean Smith, who you're supposed to be debating with, is just sitting there waiting. Can I talk now? Oh, so why did that come up? That was, it does not presuppose virtue everywhere, but it's precisely something else. It does not suffer from the absence of virtue, but on the contrary, regards this as the distancing relationship on the basis of which there is something to honor in virtue. It does not communicate itself. So I don't know why exactly that came up. Why did I say that story? Maybe it's does not presuppose virtue everywhere. So I think the reason why I told that little story is the idea that that hypergamy is everywhere, right? That's not a virtue. But true virtue doesn't assume it's everywhere. It can't be behind everything because it is different. It is distinct. And I think that's maybe why I brought that up is just is these people. Oh no, now I remember why. Sorry, soldiers, I'm blowing it live. Was linking it to other philosophers. That's why I brought it up. Is that we are actually expanding our knowledge into all kinds of different areas, and we can see where they line up. And then maybe that's something. Maybe something's there then. So when Nietzsche is saying that true virtue does not presuppose it's everywhere, that's the same thing as Confucius has said, that's the same thing that Solomon said, the same thing a bunch of other people have said, is that virtue is not common. It's rare. And it also does not suffer from the absence of virtue. Just because the world is a non-virtuous place doesn't mean that, I mean, you're still virtuous. And that was my Stoic comment. And that's what sparked that whole fucking rant about the red pill again. Is that that's what the Stoics have said. As long as I'm acting according to virtue and according to my nature, there's nothing that this world can do to me. My virtue does not suffer from its absence elsewhere. It is what it is in me, right? It does not suffer from the absence of virtue, Nietzsche writes, but on the contrary, regards this as a distancing relationship on the basis of which there's something to honor in virtue. So it's distinct. It's different. Actually, the absence of virtue makes me virtuous, makes me honorable. It's rare. It's distinct. It's different. It's special. It does not communicate itself. So virtue, again, now this is yin and yang. This is back to the Tao Te Ching, that virtue could not exist without the absence of virtue. It does not communicate itself. It communicates in contrast to that which is not virtuous. Four, and this is, again, Nietzsche's definition of virtue, it does not propagandize. Oh, really? It doesn't talk for an hour and a half about hypergamy? Oh, God. Virtue doesn't need to propagandize. Doesn't need to convince, right? Be virtuous. Could you imagine that? Instead of the take the shot. And that's what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that taking the shot is virtuous, right? Get the jab. Do your part. Be a hero. Step up. Protect your community. Get the shot. It's virtuous. Yay! No, true virtue doesn't need to do that. True virtue does not need to propagandize. Five, it permits no one to judge it because it is always virtue for itself. That's an interesting one. I don't quite understand what he's saying there. It doesn't matter if someone else is judging you as virtuous. That's not what makes it virtuous. Virtue is for itself. Okay, that makes sense, right? It's not because this person thinks it's virtuous that it's virtuous. The virtue is in itself, in contrast to that which is not virtuous. Six, it does precisely all that is generally forbidden. Virtue, as I understand it, is the real veritum, what is forbidden within all herd legislation. So he's saying that what is a vice to the herd, to the mediocre herd, is actually a virtue, because nothing virtuous can come from the herd. Nothing different, distinct, exceptional, special, higher can come from the herd because they're by definition mediocre and all those horrible things, right? Seven, in short, it is virtue in the style of the Renaissance, virtu, moraline free virtue. So what does he say? Oh, there's 73. The coinage. Okay, so this comes from, in short, it is the virtue of the style of the Renaissance, virtu, moraline free virtue. It says here, the coinage of a man who neither smoked nor drank coffee. The Antichrist, section 2. So, who came up with that idea of moraline free virtue did not have the vice of smoking or even drinking coffee. I don't know if that's a joke in the footnote here. I don't know if that's supposed to be a joke. Or who did he reference in the Antichrist section 2? And the Antichrist is another Nietzsche book. Let's keep going. 320. Virtue is under certain circumstances merely an honorable form of stupidity. Who could be ill-disposed toward it on that account? an honorable form of stupidity. So is he talking about what society believes virtue is, right?
Well, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
How long do you give someone the benefit of the doubt?
Well, you know, judge not, lest ye be judged. And even though that person was hanging out outside my vehicle, I just thought that person was admiring my vehicle. And then when he took out a crowbar, I thought, well, maybe he's got a nail to pull somewhere. And then when he smashed in the window, I thought, well, maybe he was just trying to kill that fly that I couldn't see. And then when he unlocked the door, I thought, well, maybe he's just wants to sweep out the glass from my car. And then he sat down and I thought, well, maybe he just needs to take a break. And then he drove away and I realized that he was stealing my vehicle.
Virtue is, under certain circumstances, merely an honorable form of stupidity. And this kind of virtue has not been outlived even today. A kind of sturdy peasant simplicity, which, however, is possible in all classes and can be encountered only with respect and a smile, believes even today that everything is in good hands, namely in the hands of God. Well, it's a God's in control. I'm virtuous. I believe God's in control. I'll just keep doing my thing. Dum-de-dum-de-dum. And when it maintains this proposition with the same modest certainty as it would that 2 and 2 make 4, we others certainly refrain from contradicting. Well, I don't. Not anymore. Does it look like God's in charge of any of this? You just need to trust God's plan. It's in his hands. What? Really? That gives you an excuse to do nothing? Yeah, it's in God's hands. He's not telling me to do anything. So if he's not telling me to do anything, then I don't need to do anything. Really? You're still shopping at Target, huh? Yep, I'm still shopping at Target, and my wife and I go downtown once a month to a nice restaurant. Really? You're still doing that? Yep. Because God didn't tell you so? Yep. And God's in control of all this? Yep. Well done, you fucking dumb herd animal. Virtue is, under certain circumstances, merely an honorable form of stupidity and laziness, probably, too, and a lack of courage, craven, cowardly virtues where you don't have to do anything because, well, it's in God's hands. Why disturb this pure foolishness? Why darken it with our worries about man, people, goal, future? And even if we wanted to do it, we could not. They project their own honorable stupidity and goodness into the heart of things. The old god, Deus Myops, myopic god, still lives amongst them. The myopic god. Myopic means that you can't see, right? Isn't that what myopic means? In pathology, myopia, short-sighted, nearsighted. The nearsighted god. The short-sighted god. Can't see into the future. Can't predict. Can't, oh, well, it's in God's hands. Yeah, but what if your god's short-sighted? We others, we read something else into the heart of things, our own enigmatic nature, our contradictions, our deeper, more painful, more mistrustful wisdom. We Ubermensch have just been shit on too much by life, and so we're just mistrustful. We see the patterns of history, and we see where logic leads, and we go, eh, this isn't going to go in a good place. Well, it's in God's hands. You just got to trust in God. What? You don't trust in God? What, are you satanic? Well, do we need to put a scarlet letter on your chest? Because you don't trust in God. How dare you not trust in God? It says right there in the book that you need to trust in God. That absolves you of all responsibility for any decisions in your life. I'm doing Kermit a lot, aren't I? That's not Kermit. That's not, it ain't easy being green. That was my pussy Republican voice, which is the same, almost the same as Kermit, okay? So I like this one. I like this aphorism. This is a good one. This is a good one. Of the dumb herd animal, stupid virtue. And I think virtues, he's just giving one example, right?
Everything's in God's hands. God's got a plan.
Really? Did he have a plan with the dinosaurs? Sure seemed like the dinosaurs were moving in a certain direction. Through evolution. And then they just got wiped out. So did God make a mistake with the dinosaurs? Or did he put them there just so that little kids could like dinosaurs?
Yeah, he put them there so little kids could like dinosaurs and we could get Jurassic Park movie.
Really? It's all in God's hands. All of it's in God's hands, right? Yeah. Let's move along. Let's do one more. Or is that good enough? Let me see. Let's see what the next one is here. It's a short one. So let's do one more. 323. The patrons of virtue. Avarice, lust to rule, laziness, simplicity, fear. All have an interest in the cause of virtue. That is why it stands so firm. Woo!
It's 3-2. Curveball hit in the air. Back toward the wall. It's out of here!
Awesome!
I think Nietzsche is mainly putting this in terms of religion, right? I think that's where he's mainly talking about virtue. And its patrons are avarice, greed, lust to rule, laziness. Oh, you do the work for me. I'm virtuous. Simplicity, fear. Now, simplicity, that there's nothing. I don't think there's that. I would disagree with a little bit. Keeping things simple sometimes is what we should be doing. And I would say Nietzsche, even with all of his criticisms here, he is sort of keeping it simple. Where his basic message is, whoa, 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 wait a minute here. Don't be on your high horse. If you're on a high horse, there's something wrong here. If you're on your high horse, something's wrong. Whoa, 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 whoa. All of these things fear. All of these things have an interest in the cause of virtue. That's why it stands so firm. So it's these herd values, these mediocre herd values, and that's what creates virtue. It's almost sheer inertia, the sheer weight. It's we're outnumbered, right? And true virtue isn't what the herd thinks it is. The herd does what benefits the herd, period. So let's read last comments here. And we'll wrap it up for this Thursday. Lots of comments, actually. Thanks, soldiers. Young Sykes says, I already said that. Gormonger 2 has fallen in. Apostolic alcoholic had to make notes of some of these. Oh, okay. Good. Good. Yeah, look them up yourself and see. And the context, see, the thing is in Will to Power, these are just notes. These are Nietzsche's notes, and they are organized according to topic. And so it's not Nietzsche that put these together. All right. You really need to look at each one as a self-contained thing. And you can see how they relate to other ones, but just because it's right next to something doesn't mean it relates. Somebody else made it relate in that way. So this is an unfinished work, and that's why it's so fun to talk about, because he didn't finish. He didn't feel like this was a finished product, and he never published it himself. Sam Jawbone, quality instead of quantity, DT. Exactly. Is that not white supremacist? Let's look at it again. I think, can't remember which one white.
You're it? Fucking a white male! You're a white man! Fucking Nazi!
So I am not a white supremacist. I'm quality over quantity.
Woohoo! I'm not white supremacy culture here. The bit ADJ is the worst. Is that the... Oh, Anthony to the Dream Johnson, okay. And then there was DJJ, was the MGTOW guy on his show. But yeah, ADJ's got 200 and some thousand subscribers. I mean, give me a fucking break, right? I mean, he's got 270 some thousand subscribers. Are you fucking kidding me? Wearing his dumbass fucking red hat and pretending like he's alpha? I don't know. I think a lot, I mean, he's definitely a good troll. And some of it's kind of funny. I mean, the interesting thing when I was watching his show, he had as the ticker across the bottom, it said breaking. This is the greatest show of all time or something like that. And then when I looked at Rich Cooper's channel, he had the ticker saying you can buy tactical soap at blah, blah, blah. So I think he's making fun of the grifters there. So maybe he's doing some things okay. Maybe he's not. I don't fucking care. All I see is that he's talking for hours about drama and about how to get to chicks and how to get to girls and all this fucking bullshit. Maybe he does talk more politics than the Red Pill guys. I don't know. But 270-some thousand subscribers? Christ. The bit. Listening to him and Cooper will put you to sleep. Right. He's not very engaging either in how he talks. He's not very engaging at all.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, let's take some time to talk about this topic. I think it's important.
But that ticker was kind of funny. Breaking news. This is the greatest podcast of all time or whatever it said. He's not selling anything on his ticker like Rich Cooper does. Rick Travis, Rolo rambles on forever and never lets anyone else talk. Right. So what does that say? What does that say about him? He's not confident in his ideas. He's not confident in his argument. He feels like he has to cover every fucking angle rather than just having a conversation with somebody and having a back and forth. It's really fucking annoying, actually. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, this is the podcast where there's a debate. And Rolo just talks and talks and talks and talks. Shut the fuck up and let somebody else talk. Didi Izafaig, Rolo and Cooper, extremely overrated, never saw the awe of them. I mean, Rolo's got some interesting ideas for sure, and he's one of the originators of these ideas, and he put them down in a comprehensible way. And Cooper fucking, you know, Cooper poached those ideas and presented them as his own, essentially. I've never done that. Never. Oh, Rolo had this great blog, and I learned a lot from it, and it made me think, and then he wrote some books, and I'm just going to take those ideas and present them as my own and make some more money. Apostolic Alcoholic can't be worse than Vin Armani. I don't know who that is. Young Sykes, that is the problem I have with the Red Pill group. Most of them are okay, but they mostly talking in circles. Right, it's just, can we move on? And that's why I told Clary one time. Do you think we've got enough material out there for the starter course on the Red Pill? Like Red Pill 101? Because that's essentially what they are. They're just talking Red Pill 101 over and over and over. And I understand that there's a market for it because there's new guys always coming into that market. But don't we have it now? Don't we have it? Isn't it there? Can we move on, please? And that's why we've set sail into the abyss and left these people behind. Maybe they're capable of having these kinds of conversations. I don't think they are. I've heard Rich Cooper come out of his fucking mouth. Why should I read Stoicism?
They talk about being Stoics, and I'm like, well, what have you done?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, the Stoics have nothing to say. Yeah, these people that lived much harsher lives in the past and had to try to figure things out, they've got nothing to say about humanity. You're right, Rich. Bow before your beard and your bald head.
Didi Isafai, Rich Cooper reminds me of the guy who loses $1 million in the stock market and then writes a book called How Not to Lose $1 million in the Stock Market. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. You do have something to learn from him on what not to do, for sure. But I think his whole angle, I think his whole motivation is revenge. That's what he's doing. He's trying to burn it all down. He's not letting it burn. He's trying to burn it all down, essentially. He wants revenge on the women who have scorned him. I think that's his main motivation, is he's really pissed off about that stuff. And then his second motivation is money. That's it. It's pretty simple. But I don't know him. I don't know him. I just am blowing it live here. And again, we're talking about red pill shit when I probably shouldn't. Young Sykes, exactly. If you had to propagandize being virtuous, then it's all fake and no true good can come of it. I think Nietzsche would say that good and evil, that that's irrelevant. But the fact that it's fake is relevant, right? He's all about revaluing values. Competent man, sometimes the valuable lessons are learning from the disasters of others. Learning what not to do is sometimes as valuable as what to do. But then Rich Cooper says, well, what have you done? That's one of his arguments.
Who are you? You've only got this many subscribers. What have you done?
Well, what the fuck have you done, Rich Cooper? That's your most valuable input, is what not to do. So not what you've done. What you've done is bad and a mistake. And that's what gives you credibility. That's the only thing that gives you credibility, is your mistakes. So why should I listen to you on what to do? I can listen to you on what not to do, but I sure as fuck should not be listening to you on what to do.
Use this soap. Okay.
Captain Man, giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, standard DFC reason to never take a stand on anything. Also used to justify anyone saying anything bad about a about a company disgruntled. I think you should give people the benefit of the doubt until you no longer need to. If you're always giving someone the benefit of the doubt, then yeah, that's a DFC. Both the NT and the CK DFC reason to never take a stand on anything. Oh, well, they might be doing it this way. Well, all evidence has shown that this is actually what's going on. Well, I got to give them the benefit of the doubt. There is a point at which you're not in doubt anymore and you do need to take a stand. So I think that's a good starting point. Again, these virtues have some legitimacy to them, but they are massaged and created to benefit the herd and benefit those herd values, right? Avarice, lust to rule, laziness, simplicity, fear. Didi Isafaig, do you think men should simp for women on OnlyFans? No one should be on OnlyFans. Come on. If you got to pinch one off, there's plenty of free stuff out there. What the fuck are you doing paying?
Oh, well, she's just for me.
No, she's not. She's just taking your money. There's plenty of free porn out there. What the fuck are you doing? If you need a little release, you need a little release. Need to pull one off? Go look at free stuff. You don't need to spend any fuck. I mean, people have no idea how good you've got it. Oh. As long as you keep it in control, anyway. Compton Man, I still can't believe the amount of money being spent on OnlyFans. Right. It's nuts. It's insane. It's dumb money. Stupid people have too much fucking money. The herd has too much money. Compton Man, when I first heard some of the reports, I thought it must be amounts over their entire time, not like a month or even a day. Bella Thorne, 1 million. Didi Isafaig, man. All right, so when you should become the best version of yourself and not simp on OnlyFans for the betterment of men, correct? Oh, you should never pay for it when it's free. I mean, isn't that the whole point? You should never pay for it when it's free. And then all these people are on OnlyFans when there's plenty of free stuff out there. I mean, WTF? Competent Man or the women late teens that dressed like a cat taking in $150,000 per month for months on end? Or Bad Barbie taking in $1 million on her 18th birthday? Yeah, there's some sick shit going on there, right? They've been following her when she's underage, and then when she hits her 18th birthday, she makes a bunch of money to get naked. I mean, there's some sick fucking shit going on. Captain Man, I can see what you mean, but the experience is failures and value. Shit. Sometimes when I scroll down, it disappears. Okay, I don't want to talk anymore about women. I don't want to do it. Sam Jawbone says there are so many awful channels with hundreds of thousands of subscribers. The Herd, huh? Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Let's see here. Compton Man, you can dance around it all you want. They are all grifters. They do this for money. Yes. DDI Zafaig, they contradict themselves in circles. Competent Man, think of it this way. All the people, especially guys who went down the wrong path, got married, had kids, put through divorce court ringer, lost the kids and house, etc. Someone like that went to someone and they charged them $10,000 for advice and avoided all of that. Would that guy be grateful for avoiding such a disaster? All this stuff is out there for free. Again, it's out there for free. And the reason why they charge is because dumb herd animals don't do something unless they pay for it, unless they got skin in the game, which is why our country is fucking collapsing, because most people don't pay taxes, so they don't fucking care. It's the same thing. DD Azafeig, move on from Red Pill 101. Come on, DT, no money there, right? More money, baby. More money.
More money.
FBI, open up in there.
So let's see. I've been the reason why I did that is because I wanted to see if there's any comments. You guys are really talking about and you're arguing about how Cooper and these guys are total grifters. And Young Sykes, hi ho, Kermit the Frog here. Tell you guys, don't be a beta mate and buy my book on how to be an alpha male. Should I say that like Kermit?
Hi ho, Rich Cooper here to tell you guys, don't be a beta mate and buy my book, Beta Male, I think is what you meant, Young Sykes, and buy my book on how to be an alpha male. Yeah. Yay!
Right? So, I'm reading the argument here, and I love you, Competent Man, but DD Isafaig is right. You're wasting your time listening to these guys all day. You're the competent man. You understand the economy. You understand all these things. You don't need to listen to them preach basic bitch shit to a bunch of fucktards that don't understand stuff. You don't need to. That's why you're here. You're moving on past that fucking boring shit. It's fucking boring. Yesterday I'm listening to these videos and I'm like, I just wasted like an hour trying to find anything of value. And what I found was Dr. Sean Smith saying, well, basically saying don't suffer from confirmation bias. You should actually compile the data
and have an open mind on what the reason is behind it, rather than entering into something with a preconceived notion for the reasons behind things happening. And I sat there, I'm like, this is fucking boring as fuck. And people listen to this shit all fucking day. And that's why I say, get some shit done. Tops, you listen to this stuff while you're getting shit done. Tops. If you're sitting there listening to this stuff all day, Dita Izafaig is right. I don't know if he's right about you being a fanboy, competent man, but you're going to wake up one day and realize what a waste of your precious time following these people online like a religion. Red pill is a religion. Yes, it is. It is a cult. It is a cult, and they can't unstick themselves. They can't get unstuck with everything going on. You know everything going on, competent man. You know everything. You know all the important things going on in the economy. All the shit that's going on, and they're still just fucking talking about chicks all day? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Oh, you're real men? You're real men? Oh, I fucked this chick. Well, and I had kids with her, and I've got a family, and I'm married now, and I'm the alpha male in my household, and I'm king shit in my house, and I game my wife, and I'm control, and what I say goes. Hey, are you ready for the collapse that's coming? Are you ready? Oh, I'll just deal with it. Oh, you're really alpha male, aren't you? Aren't you? You're really an alpha male. You are following Deus Myops, the myopic god. Oh, well, all that's in God's hands.
I'm going to be the alpha male with my bitch and my kids. Make more money.
Well, what if that money disappears? It's not worth shit.
Well, it's always going to be worth something. Yeah, that's the Federal Reserve figured out.
Right? Yeah, it's a waste of time listening to these people anymore. I've tuned into a couple of Cap's videos here lately where he's actually done originals, where he's not responding to the fucking dumb herd animals out there. And he's been trying to answer some bigger questions lately, and that's okay, but I do not tune into these people very much at all. There's a reason why I'm in the abyss, is because what's behind us is fucking boring as fuck. It's just boring. So DD Izafaig says, Black Brigade, you wussed out. You wouldn't read my Clary comment. Thought you were about the truth. You were quivering. So where's the Clary one that he's a grifter to? Let's see here. It might not have come through. If you swore or something, it might not have come through into my my thing here. Okay, here it is. So why does Aaron Clary promote OnlyFans as a career decision for young women? This is supposed to help men? No, he's not trying to help men there. That's not what he's doing. And I'm not what I mean. Clary is practical. So if you can make a bunch of money on OnlyFans on a bunch of fucking marks and pathetic, useless people throwing money at you, why wouldn't you take it? Aaron Clary knows he's a whore. Aaron Clary has said he's a whore. He's a whore. Doing what he needs to do to make money so that he can live and survive. That's what he's doing. And he's doing just fine. He's doing fine. Answering these questions and trying to help people and stuff. And so he's saying, well, if that's what I'm doing, I can't not tell women to do the same fucking thing. It's the same thing. And again, I think, Dee Dee, you're being, you're falling into, back to Nietzsche. Nietzsche would say that you're falling into that kind of puritanical, puritanical virtuous thinking there. Well, he's not helping men by encouraging women to be on OnlyFans that hurts men by taking their money. No, those OnlyFans wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the dumb herd animals that are throwing money at it. That's the problem. It's not the women that are on it. So is that good enough? Did I not wuss out now? Apostolic Alcoholic says, hey, this one's pretty good. Competent man, free info. I wonder about that also.
I think part of the problem is some guys are so lost they do not even know what to look for, so they can't find it. That is how bad things are. Bullshit. Don't excuse the herd, competent man. Don't excuse them. Bull fucking shit. It's all out there. If they're stupid, then maybe they need it to be all put together in a nice little package with a bow on top for them to understand it. But those are dumb herd animals. Those are greedy, lust to rule, laziness, simplicity, fear. Okay? Apostolic Alcoholic says not everyone's going to make it. Absolutely. The way is narrow. Compton Man, another aspect is that all of us here really do not need that advice. We all already know the info. I think some people continue to listen because they hope things start to change. I think it's an addiction. I think it rubs people where they want to be rubbed. It's confirming what they think. And they hear these stories from other guys and go, yes, I made the right decision. Yes, look at the trouble that guy got into, right? I think it's confirmation bias. That's the attraction. There are some things we like to watch over and over and over and over and over again. And we especially like to watch things over and over and over and over and over again if we're not challenged and we're able to just comfortably go, yeah, I got it figured out. Yep. Yeah, I got it figured out. Don't have to think about it. Yeah, here's another guy complaining about the same stuff that I went through. And it's the same answer to him that, you know, has been answered, I don't know how many times. Millions, maybe? I mean, hundreds of thousands, certainly. The same fucking question's been answered. Black Brigade from the Competent Man, but any change will probably take a generation, be long after we are elderly or dead. The cult aspect is that change takes time, like a generation. Well, you need consequence. There needs to be consequence. That's when change happens, when there's actual consequence and when it's forced. Because there are actual consequences. Young Sykes, DT, quick question. How is the gas shortage affecting you? I don't drive very much, so I don't care. We don't drive all that much. I pick up the kids from school. That's about it. go get stuff at the hardware store every once in a while. That's about it. DDI Zafaiig, these red pillars have crappy lives. You can do better than that. I would agree. I don't think there's any more that needs to be said there. They show what they want to show. They put forth the image that they want to put forth. Okay? That's what everybody does. And if they're making money off of the idea that they're living the good life, they have to put forth the best image possible, even if it's not true. Okay. Competent Man, Roosh V. Bang book about a decade old. Lots of that seems to be outdated now, and it is since things have changed since 2011, but the change is slow. I haven't read it, but I doubt that the main principles are out of date. Okay. Come on, stop. Stop. We are looking at stuff that is hundreds of years old, and it's still fucking relevant. Right? Oh, it's out of date. No, it's not out of date. It's not out of date. It's not out of date at all. If Nietzsche's not out of date, the true things in Nietzsche are eternal. The true things in Roosh V are eternal. The true things with Confucius are eternal. No, it's not out of date. That's, again, I need it to be relevant completely to today. That's only a decade old. It needs to reflect everything that's happening right this second for me to take it seriously. Talk about no imagination. Fuck. Oh, I'm going to read Rich Cooper's new book rather than Nietzsche. What? Rather than King Solomon. Rather than Tao Te Ching. What? That's one of my good friends. He said, why would I read Pete Hegseth's new book when I could go read G.K. Chesterton or whatever? What does he have to say that's any better or different than these great thinkers of the past? And I said, you know what? You're fucking right.
You're absolutely right. I need to start reading stuff, old stuff. So, Didi Isafig, you don't want that for your daughters, and you know it. Well, of course not. Of course not. Of course not. But those others are not my daughters. And it's their fucking dad's responsibility, not mine. Right? No, I think all that, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, what do? Make porn illegal? I think the result of that would be fucking really, really bad. But that's where that thinking goes, right? If you're going to say, you shouldn't be doing that, but you can make a ton of money doing it because the dumb herd animals control, that's who is God. The herd is God. Their values are the moral values of society. The only way to, again, like Nietzsche is saying here, the only way to enforce that morality is through force, is through immorality. Right? 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 I mean, you could say, I guess what I would say is, if you're just looking to make money, and that's pretty, I mean, it's not like you're an actual whore and are in danger. You're in your own fucking room. But there are dangers. Somebody, you could get a stalker. You could, I mean, all kinds of bad things could happen to you. Flashing your tits all over the internet. But you can get a stalker in anything. So, I mean, if all you want to do is make money, fine. But it's not like you're just making money for nothing. There are risks involved in everything, and you got to decide if that's a risk that's worth taking or not. I don't care about that. I really don't fucking care. I don't care. I have divorced myself from the human species. I don't fucking care. They are beyond hope of help. They are beyond saving. We need consequence. And that's all. That's it. That's the answer, is consequence. Competent man, that is another unfortunate aspect. A lot of guys go get advice and never do any of it. Cappy complains a lot about Spurgs paying for his time for nothing. Those people he throws an absolute fit at. That's why he charges now. He charges because people don't listen unless they got skin in the game. So I think Gormonger 2 says, I'm just trying to enjoy what's beautiful and free days are left before the Great Reset. Yep, enjoy it while you can. Didi Isafig says, this country's done. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, it is. It's done. There's nothing. There's nothing. Confident Man clarifies, Nietzsche at his level will always be relevant, but things in Rush v. Bang, like talking about using a smartphone to set up dates, changed as attention spans got even shorter. Well, see, practical advice might change. But if people are reading these books for practical advice, you're a fucking loser. I mean, you really are.
Give me the 12 steps that it takes for me to bang the chicks.
And if it's all like specific information, then yeah, I guess that part of it becomes irrelevant. But there's reasons behind that specific information that remain relevant, is I guess the point that I'm saying. Okay, we've gone long enough. That was The Will to Power Hour, episode number 102, Nietzsche's Critique of the Highest Values, part 4. For this Thursday, May 13th, 2021.
Look at my muscles. Look at my biceps. Look at my triceps. Look at my deltoids. Look at my muscles. Look at my biceps. Look at my triceps. Look at my deltoids. Look at my muscles. Look at my triceps. Look at my biceps. Look at my deltoids. Look at my muscles. Look at my biceps. Look at my triceps.
You want me to put the hammer down?
Yes, philosophizing with a hammer. Every Thursday here at the Black Brigade. If you want me to continue my goddamn hammering, hit the like, hit the subscribe, share with one new recruit a week, and help grow the brigade, head on over to blackbrigade.org. That is our flagship. My throat is hurting because I'm out of coffee. Where we set sail into the abyss. Subscribe to the RSS feed there as well, and kindly click on the Cafe Press site to buy some cool shit.
Here's my products. Go buy my shit. Give me your fucking money.
I need money!
Yes, give the Black Brigade a buck. It's not much. So we fell into the trap again, soldiers. I apologize. I used that anecdote about Red Man Group and all this bullshit, and it got out of control like it always does. It always does. Maybe if I did that all the time, I'd get more subscribers. Maybe I'd have thousands of subscribers if I said the same shit all the time and I ripped on Rich Cooper all the time, ripped on Rolo, you know, and ripped on MGTOW Dictionary, ripped on everybody. I could just rip on everybody, rip on the world, rip on humanity. Just rip, rip, rip. Drama, drama, drama. Gossip, gossip, gossip. Same shit all the time. Talk, talk, talk. Hypergamy, hypergamy, hypergamy. It's boring. That was my point, was it's boring. And then I got out of control and everybody wanted to talk about it. It's boring. It's time to move on. We're in the abyss. There's new things to discover. We don't even know what we're going to discover. It's so fucking dark. We don't know what we're going to discover. We don't know what we... There are unknown unknowns out here in the abyss. And it's exciting. And it's interesting. And it's fun to see all the links to different philosophies. And it helps us put all those pieces of the puzzle together. And you got the fucking retard crew in the special ed class doing their little fucking puzzle of a chick's tits. Ooh, I got the last piece and I can see her boobies now. When that's one tiny piece of this gigantic puzzle that can be worked on and put together. So time to move on, soldiers. It's time to move on. Okay? So get some shit done today. Thanks for falling in. Get some shit done. Improve your life because no one's going to do it but you. And as always, the Black Brigade disclaimer.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Dismissed.